Morning, good morning, welcome. So good to see such a good-looking crew here today. First things first, just so you guys know, I estimated where I would be standing in January when this place was just like a disaster zone, and I took a picture, so we got to do the before and after, all right? You guys good with that? So give me a fresh smile, Sunday morning smile, here we go. Yeah, now let's do a crazy one. Do a crazy one. Here we go. Yeah, exactly. I like it. Awesome. I want to make you all famous on Facebook. Wow, what a day. So good to be here with you all. If you're new here today, I'm Zach. I'm one of the pastors here. And I think, as I think about today, I feel like the overriding emotion is just simply this, just thankfulness. We're so thankful. So thankful. And as I reflect on what it means to just be a Christian in general, one of the things that should be normative for anybody that wants to walk with the Lord and says that they follow Jesus is just a spirit of thankfulness. Listen to what the Bible says. I could read scriptures about thankfulness for probably the next hour. Here's just a sampling. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Two more, Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name. There's anything that's central to being a Christian, it's this, being a person of thanks. And so then the question obviously comes, where does the enabling power or where does the vision come from to actually be a person of thanks? What's the motive for being thankful? Christians, more than anyone else in the world, should be the most thankful people in the world. Think about it like this. If you're staring down a bullet and someone jumps between you and that bullet and saves your life, what's your response going to be? It's going to be thankfulness. Not like, it's about time, right? If you're facing a $10,000 credit card debt and some benefactor comes up to you, unbeknownst to you, just out of nowhere and pulls out their checkbook and says, hey, I want to relieve you of this debt. Just have it taken care of right now. What are you going to say? You're going to say thanks. If there's a small fire in your house and you call 911 right away and the fire department gets there within 2 minutes and they put that fire out and there's no massive damage, what's your response going to be? Thank you. If your child is facing a life-threatening disease that requires a very technical and specific surgery, and the surgeon comes in after that surgery is performed and says, everything went great, the disease is eradicated, what is your response going to be? Thankfulness, right? See, these are all just metaphors of the Christian life. These are all pictures of the Christian life. If you know Jesus, if you love Jesus, if you trust Jesus such that you're willing to give your life to follow him, then you understand these scenarios because spiritually speaking, they remind us of what it means to be a Christian. Christianity is not climbing a ladder of good deeds and proving to some far off, silent, cold grandpa in the sky that you're good enough to be loved by him. Christianity is understanding someone has taken a bullet for you and you had nothing to do with it. Someone has paid your debt for you when you were up to your eyeballs in debt and you couldn't do anything about it. Christianity is there's a fire in your house and you need the firemen to come and you're not driving the fire truck. There's a disease that requires surgery and you don't have the qualifications of a surgeon. Before becoming a Christian, you face these scenarios, like the debt payer, the surgeon, the fireman, the one who takes the bullet for you, and we know who that person is. His name is Jesus. He loved us. The Bible says God demonstrates his love for us in this, Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrates his love in this. And the Bible also says there's no such thing as a greater love than if you're willing to lay down your life for your friends, or Romans 5, your enemies. God himself, high, exalted, lofty, out of his great love for us, came down to our level. We didn't climb a ladder to him. He came down to us through sheer grace and mercy alone to meet our need, to provide a way of salvation for all those who trust God and his plan for salvation and maximum joy now and in eternity in Jesus. So if you know this, this is your story. This is the Christian story. And so then, again, what is going to be one of the main defining ways of how you live your life? A sense of entitlement? A sense of prideful boasting in your accomplishments? Is it going to be demanding your rights? No, never. Maybe one of the top three characteristics of what should flow from that news about Jesus that I just articulated is what? It's going to be thankfulness. So this morning, we have much to be thankful for. The building looms large, as it should, but just Christianity in general means that all those that love Jesus are people of thanks. This is why the Bible exhorts us to be people of thanks. Because why? Because it shows that we get it. It shows that we get it. It shows that we understand, that we know who we are, that we know what's been done for us. So that's what this Sunday is all about, a time to give thanks. And what better a time than as we look at this beautiful building that we've been given? What better time when we reflect on all the volunteer hours, hours and hours and hours? What better time than reflecting on all the money that's been sacrificially given? Today is the day to remind ourselves that we are people who are defined by being thankful, and so we give thanks. And this morning, I want to focus on two facets of that, okay? We want to thank God for his provision, and we want to thank God for one another. We want to thank God for his provision. We want to thank God for one another. All right? First of all, we're going to thank God for his provision, right? So it was a few years ago. I don't know the exact dates. It's all kind of a blur. But a few years ago, probably 2.5, I would guess, the writing was kind of on the wall for our old location, just a mile down the road here, right off the Beltline on Knob Hill Road. And it was clear that that location was not going to be sufficient as we moved into the future. And immediately as we started to look, we were struck by the fact that what we wanted was very, very hard to find in the city of Madison. Looking for about 16,000 square feet, office space, sufficient kids space, gathering space that would allow for some growth, a central location in Madison so that we could see a web of church planting just kind of spider out from a central location in Madison. Just churches planted, cities set on a hill, torches of light just lighting up the whole city of Madison all over. And it was clear, though, that everything that we found and we explored was either too small or too big, or there wasn't enough parking, or the zoning would be all messed up. It was maybe not a central location. Price was too high. And we looked and we looked and we looked, and month after month after month after month, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And I remember oftentimes being discouraged, just like, man, how is this going to happen? And I remember, honestly, I probably said this to 20 different people. What we're looking for just doesn't exist in Madison. It's not in our price range, at least. And if we get a building, it will simply be God's provision. And look around you this morning. Where do you sit? God has answered our prayers. See that. Don't let your thoughts just terminate on what you see. Let those thoughts send you vertical. Fresh paint on the walls, a beautiful stage, beautiful kids' space, office space. Let that have your affections go vertical. Look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. So we don't worship buildings, we worship God. But let the means of worshiping God be what we see. Man, this is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Listen to what Romans 11 says. This is a classic doxology. This is a classic section of scripture where Paul just got done articulating the most amazing articulation of the gospel that maybe we have in written form. And he gets to the end of all of it, and here's what he says. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? And check this out. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. You see that last verse? For from him, and through him, and to him are what? All things. So I think this building is included in the all, is it not? So he gets the glory forever. To him be the glory forever. Thanks be to God for his provision. Thanks be to God for his provision. So we thank God for his provision. Secondly, we thank God for each other. We thank God for each other. We give thanks to God for each other because of three different things: praying, serving, and giving. First, praying. Man, we had monthly prayer meetings led by Jamie Chong where we just sought the Lord. Lord, would you provide? Man, we prayed as elders regularly for this project that God would provide. We prayed in our city groups. Lord, would you provide to see your mission continue in Madison? We asked for location. We asked for parking. Man, that was a challenge. We asked that contractors climbing on ladders and stuff would be kept safe. We asked that we would be unified as a church. Here we sit. We asked that the building would not get us off track, off mission as a church. We asked God for the right amount of money, the right amount of volunteers, and on and on and on. And I can say with all surety that God has answered these prayers over and over again. God has answered these prayers. It's so beautiful. We give thanks to God for each other because of so many people praying. We give thanks to God for each other because of so many people serving. So many people serving. So many people serving. I was blown away by how many people pitched in to make this a reality. We said at the outset that if we're going to do this, the only way it's going to happen is if we cut costs through volunteer labor. And here we sit. So many of you. I remember talking to one of our elders, David Jordan. He's the one up here playing the guitar this morning, about that first weekend when all of the crowbars and the sledgehammers were just flying and the dust was just everywhere. I mean, you came out of this building on that first weekend, you're just covered in soot and nastiness, and it was awesome. And I remember talking to David, and he's saying, like, once he, like, looked and just saw dudes just, like, taking down walls with, you know, one swing, it's like, wow, we're really doing this. Like, we're actually doing this. There's no turning back now, you know? And one of the reasons why we as leaders were not constantly paralyzed by fear in this process is because of the faithful, non-complaining, steadfast work of majority of you in this room, just pitching in. And these were not glamorous jobs. It's not glamorous scraping carpet glue off this floor. Nothing glamorous about that. Changing toilets, painting walls, pulling weeds, you know, getting splinters in your hands, pulling nails. It's not glamorous. But never once did I hear someone complain. That's evidence of God's Spirit alive in you. It's beautiful, so amazing. But here's the really beautiful thing that I think we saw that is a means for which we should thank God for one another in serving. And it's the months that we saw, you know, from January to now, of the body of Christ. That's just a theological way of saying God's people in God's church, serving side by side. Now check this out. It's not through constantly staring each other in the face that joins hearts and minds together in beautiful relationship. That's not how this works. It's working side by side toward a common mission that unites people in heart and mind. I know I've heard so many people say, man, I've got to know so many other people through just this process of working side by side. So many new friendships were formed. And should this not compel us, Vine Church, to not navel gaze or just stare each other in the face? See, when we navel gaze, we get sick of ourselves, right? When we stare each other in the face, we get sick of one another. But when we work side by side, when we link arms and lift up our eyes from ourselves and we go to the cross and the empty tomb together, when we lift up our eyes and look out, not at myself, not at you just all the time, but we look out to a broken and needy world out there, and we run to meet the need with something to say, a message to be communicated about Jesus and what he's done in space, time, and history. And then we show lives that look different, that display that we're people who are people of thanksgiving, we're people of mercy, we're people on a mission of mercy, we're people on a mission of love and sacrifice for the sake of the glory of Jesus and the joy of others. It's this mission of working side by side as we go with the tomb and the cross in our vision and with a needy world in our vision. So I'm not staring at myself, I'm not staring at you, but we're in this thing together. That's what unites a church as a family on mission. So many people serving together on this project has shown the beauty of this and how it can form deep relationships of love. We give thanks to God for each other because of so many people serving. And we give thanks to God for each other because of so many people giving regularly, sacrificially, and cheerfully. So when we started, we couldn't do this. We couldn't buy this building without a cool $100,000 up front, right? To get the loan that we needed. And we asked God to provide this, and he provided through people giving. Amazing. It didn't take long. Spoke the need. Need was met. And one of my favorite stories of this is just we had raised about, about just shy of 100,000, about 98K. And I remember talking to a member of our church, and he just said to me, yeah, we were just thinking about giving just a little more. And he told me how much he was going to give, and that was the exact amount to take us to 100. Just like, wow, that's cool. So thankful to see God provide. That's what we asked for. Here's what was provided. Now, there's always a bit of messiness when you're not just physical messiness, but like financial messiness when it comes to remodeling, because you tear open these walls and you don't know what you're going to find, right? And so there's always a little wiggle room that you got to have and just kind of have grace for. And we didn't have huge problems with that in this process, but we did have some of that, which is normal. And when we had costs that we needed to be raised above and beyond what we originally said, it wasn't a massive amount, but it was some. Man, it came in. Beautiful. So many of you have given sacrificially and cheerfully and generously. We thank God for each other because of so many people praying, so many people serving, and so many people giving. And at this point, I want to ask Scott to come up, and we want to recognize some people with a little more specificity this morning in terms of how we've seen this. It's very biblical to give thanks to one another for what we see God doing in each other's lives. And so Scott's going to do that now.
Awesome. Well, Zach was referring, you know, it was 2 years ago we recognized this process needed to begin. And the first group that I just give thanks for is the facility team. We formed a future facility team with Tim and Stan, Jesse Stanky, Darren Wisneski. And our first meeting was actually, I was just looking this up last night, was June 11th of 2015. And 21 months later, we're finally here. And it was, like Zach alluded to, it was a long journey. There were days I thought we would never find a building we would all agree on, and yet God made it evident here after months and months of negotiating and waiting. And on that team, architect Tim Crum, a member of our church, stepped up and spent just countless hours designing and developing plans and doing things of that nature. And then the GO project team was formed with our communications team and others, Ben Camp, Wes Garnett, Jamie Chong overseeing prayer and our prayer meetings, Justin and Laurel Eccles with design, and Maggie Kratz with her expertise in fundraising, and Naomi Ledgerwood and Emily Davenport. And this team developed this amazing plan to help roll out and communicate clearly what it is that was before us. And since then, specifically, we've seen this church of 200 people, as Zach referred to, raise $190,000 in one-time gifts, okay? And $150,000 in monthly three-year commitments, $20,000 towards soft costs. It's crazy what God has done. And 10% of our giving is ultimately going to go to also planting a church in Ecuador and helping facilitate a facility there. So we're so excited for how it is that God has worked. And then there came the issue of construction management. And Dennis, who's seated in the back there, agreed to sit down and give me some advice, give me some counsel. Well, it was kind of a bait and switch. Neither of us knew that. But he ended up coming on to help manage all of the subcontractors. And it was unbelievable how much of a burden he carried for us, and what a blessing that was. We did, just so you know, what most said couldn't be done. When I talked to contractors about what was before us, we started January 6th, and we're in here March 27th. So in 11 weeks, we completely, by God's grace, renovated 11,000 square feet of a facility. So unbelievable. And so, yeah, praise God. So, and it took crazy guys like Dave up there swinging around in the rafters painting for us. Dave's here painting and helping us to get that ceiling insulated. And then one of the linchpins for us was that we couldn't afford this, to be honest. We just knew we couldn't hire this all out professionally. And so we were so thankful when Solid Rock Builders, which is a ministry of the Free Church, the district, the Forest Lakes District, when they said, hey, we'll get on board and join you. And so we are so thankful for Dave and Randy, and there were so many others who were here, for Ray, for Doug, for Steve from Bible EFC in Toma. There were a church from Viroqua, Redeemer City, our church plant came. The pastor and his wife from Bethany Free Church here in Madison came. So this was a collaborative effort of churches around the state that came together as well to join us in this. And then internally, I don't know if you realize our technical deacon, Hans. Yeah. My goodness. It makes me want to cry how many hours this guy has spent planning, just giving of his time as a volunteer here in the church to plan and to work on this continuing work of technology here. It's just unbelievable. Facility Deacon Scott Welch, the deacons over cleaning, Scott and Bev Savage, kept this whole thing, our other facility, going in the midst of the craziness of the volunteer drain here. Next Generation Team, Kelsey, Marie, Marcus, and Jenny, man, they did an amazing job helping work so hard to get our kids' stuff transitioned. And then Laurel in the office and Chase jumped in, too, to help coordinate our office renovation that happened. And, of course, Zach using his woodworking skills and magic to build tables and things like that. We're so thankful, so thankful. And the list could go on and on. And I want to invite this time Dave Wilcox to come up here, and he's going to say a word of thanks, too, as he observed the volunteers. Dave is one of the fathers of Solid Rock Ministry, let's put it that way. And so let me just give you a moment.
I just wanted to say what a blessing it was just to be a part of this. It was just good to be here and to see everybody work. I've worked on a bunch of projects, and this is, I got to tell you, you got some of the best kids in the world. Honest, I never saw so many young people show up and work so hard. I never saw one kid stand around, I don't know what to do. They're all working. And I didn't ever see a sad face either. They were all hardworking kids. You're really blessed to have so many young people that work so hard. And this guy here. This is the guy. Yeah. He was right on it the whole time. He never got flustered. You know, we kept running into this or running into that. And Scott was... He was right there. He knew what to do and never got flustered. It was a real blessing to be here. I thank you for the opportunity to serve the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. And those young kids he's referring to is all of you, actually. So, but this is an example, too. Dave is, well into retired years, if I can be so kind as to say, and he's given his time to continue to build churches for the glory of God. And so we thank you for what God has called you to do. So, Zach, I'll turn it back over to you.
That's yours. Well, yeah, I think I could say something about Scott because he won't get up here and talk about himself. But I love to talk about Scott. I'm just so personally thankful for Scott. He, you know this, but... I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him, and so there's very few people that have the kind of gifting that he has, where he can be on staff as a church, as a pastor, but also have the expertise and willingness and patience to enable the kind of project that this was. So, Scott, we are exceedingly thankful for you, and I am, and I can speak for all of us, and so that goes without saying. So many years ahead, I pray, and you guys give Scott an extra hug this morning, okay? All right. Yes. So let me close with this. I just want to remind us real quickly two things. What this building is and what this building is not. What this building is and what this building is not. Okay, first of all, what this building is not. This building is not somehow an indication that we've arrived as a church, okay? As if maybe our last few locations meant that we were somehow sinfully disobedient or something, right? Maybe we're more mature as a church. You know, we've gone from, like, diapers to, like, kindergarten or something. I don't know. You can, whatever metaphor you want to choose. But a new building doesn't change core identity whatsoever. And I don't think that for a second. See, my deepest desire for us today is to recognize that this building doesn't change one thing about who we are as a Christian family. See, our mission is exactly the same. Just because you move houses doesn't mean doesn't change who you are. And this is who we are, a spirit-filled family that seeks to make disciples and plant churches among neighbors and nations through declaration and demonstration. That just continues to march on. That's who we are. That's who we've always been. And this would march on whether we're in this building or not. This building doesn't make the church beautiful any more than having a great pair of shoes makes you Michael Jordan, right? The building is just simply a tool in the hand of the Holy Spirit to enable a Christian family to be filled up and sent out to call people to glorify God by knowing, trusting, and treasuring King Jesus. And we call them to come to the fountain of living water and be satisfied. So we don't trust in the building. Our identity is not in the building. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. And our identity is firmly rooted in Jesus based on his life, death, and resurrection credited to us by faith. So whether this building, God forbid, burns to the ground or lasts another 100 years, the beauty of God's missional people together is not contingent on physical structures. The early church that we've been learning about in the book of 1 Peter that we return to next week, they didn't have anything nearly as nice as this. This would have been the ultimate megachurch, right, back then. And through the power of the Holy Spirit working in them, they turned the whole world on its head. To the degree that the gospel has traveled from Jerusalem 6,000 miles away to Madison, Wisconsin. Think about that. 2,000 years later, we're still around. So building or no building, the church will march on to declare and demonstrate that our God is awesome, that our God is holy, that our God is beautiful, that our God is merciful, and his loving kindness is never ending to those who know him through Jesus. So that's what this building is not. It's not a statement that we've arrived, but it is a statement that we continue. Here's what this building is. Just like a great sports team needs a training facility where they spend a lot of time running drills and holding practices and reminding each other of how to play the game, thinking about how to tweak this and that and improve and encourage one another to get after it, it's really good to have a training center. But the game is never played in the training center. The life of a sports team is not compartmentalized to a training center. Never. The game is played outside the training center. And in the same way, in a sense, the game or the mission of our Christian life together is played out there. All of Madison streams by on the Beltline. My office sits right there and faces out. And it's a reminder, the game is played out there. The game is played out there, not in here. If you think the primary mission of God's people is played in this room, you're in the wrong game. This building is the training center, and the game is played out there. How you love your neighbors, how you speak truth and serve sacrificially an onlooking world, how you speak your Christian convictions in a winsome and wise way to your coworkers and neighbors and family. See, Jesus told his first disciples what? To go. Not to stay. He said, go and make disciples. Don't just stay here. Don't just stay here. I want you to go. And he meant out there, to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's where the game is played. Make disciples out there. Share your faith out there. Love each other well here, yes, 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 and gather here. But the mission is lived out there. So this building is a training center. It's a place to gather for the sake of building one another up. It's really good, really important. As we gather around the truths of God's word, and as we participate in the reminder of the gospel in the Lord's Supper, as we sing together, as we pray, and are empowered, reminded, and invigorated to leave these four walls behind and know that our mission as a church takes place on the 6 days a week when we're not in this location. That's what this building is. That's what this building is. A training center for empowerment, for mission. So in closing, man, do we not have much to be thankful for? Right? Christians are defined as people who give thanks. So let me challenge you again. As you walk in this building every week and see the cross, give thanks. Give thanks to Jesus for the life that he gave so that we could live. As you drink a cup of really good coffee, right? Give thanks. We don't deserve, we're not entitled to have great coffee, right? So give thanks. Thank you, Rob and Jesse, for managing that for us. When you speak with another church family member that you see, give thanks for them. Many people, like we just heard, many churches don't have as many great people. Y'all are great people. So when you talk to somebody, give thanks for them. As you give sacrificially for the continuation of the mission of this church, give thanks as you're reminded that all of your life is a gift. The air that you breathe, your heart that beats in your chest, that's a gift. And any money that you have is not because you're awesome, but because God is gracious. So give thanks as you give. As you leave this building each week, give thanks. Many churches around the world would die for a location like this. So give thanks. As you go into the world, when you leave this building each week, give thanks. Why? Because you know that if you trust and treasure King Jesus and what he has done to save you, you can't lose. You can't lose. So give thanks as you walk out of here in confidence. You go on mission knowing that he will build his church. He's been up to something for a long time before any of us were ever around. And after we're gone, unless he returns, he's going to continue being up to something. So go on mission knowing that he will build his church. He has a people of his own possession that are just waiting in Madison and throughout the whole world to be told this good news about Jesus so they can respond and drink deeply of the living water. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much. Today is a day to give thanks, and we thank you so much for the chance that we can stand and look at all of the evidence of your grace around us. This building and everything else, Lord. So would you make us into those kind of people? In Jesus' name, amen.